2-1. Ripped to left center field. That one is going to go. See you later.
In the left field. This one is going all the way. It is over and out.
Bromer at third. He'll tag the base. The fire over to first. It's a double play.
Liner into left field. Long run for Notarangelo. And he won't get there. That's down for a base hit.
Hello and welcome to Hawks Talk, the podcast all about the Upper Valley Nighthawks, presented by Junction Arts and Media. I am CJ Boone, the voice of the Nighthawks for 2026, and I am joined by public address announcer Greg Fennell. Great to have you as always, Greg. Welcome in. How was your week?
A lot of shoveling for the last 48 hours. Yeah. But okay. Pretty good so far. Nice to see some snow on the ground.
How much did you end up getting? 14? Is that what you said?
14 inches. Yeah, 14 inches, which is called, in this part of the world, it's called a light dusting. The blessing, though, is basically what they call out in the Rockies, champagne powder. It was really, really light because the temperature was so cold. So it wasn't that bad, although my neighbor across the street was worried because my snow thrower is in the shop right now and wanted to make sure that I could still get everything done without the need of gasoline. So we're good.
Well, I mean, hopefully there's no more snow coming, because if you guys want all the snow, keep it up in New England. We Midwest people don't want it. Right? We'll get to that.
We're due. I know you guys have had plenty already. We were due for a good one. And, we sit here and we complain all the time. New Englanders are famous for that. But in all honesty, it's nice to see it, because most of the snow we've had so far has been in 1 and 2 inch increments. And there's been a lot of sleet and a lot of ice, and it's just been really gross. So it's nice to see legitimate winter scene when I look out the back of the house now.
Absolutely. So this is episode 2 of season 4, and we are joined by two very special guests. The first, we are joined by the director of broadcasting back for his second year in the Upper Valley, Brendan Bolin. Brendan, how has off-season life been treating you?
Let's just say today I got downgraded from co-host to guest, so I guess I'll take it. No, it's been great. Getting back to work and getting in the swing of things in a elevated role. So I'm really excited about the upcoming season and what we've got in store so far. So I'm really thrilled for this.
And also joining us, returning to the Upper Valley, the executive creative director, Margo Oxman. Margo, how's the offseason like treating you as well?
Offseason's been good. Definitely pretty cold, a lot of snow. But nonetheless, pretty chill. Not too much going on.
Excellent. So I will kick things off. This is mainly just a feel kind of start off question, but this is mainly for both of you, but either one of you can start. Where did you get your start, and how did you know that you wanted to get into the sports world?
I can go first, but I had a love for sports probably since getting out of the womb. Like, my dad was very athletic. My mom, not so much, but my dad definitely carried a lot of the athletic genes that I somewhat still have today. But I played a lot of youth sports. I played T-ball, and then I transitioned into softball, and then along with the ice hockey, which I'm currently still doing in college. Just started at a very, very young age. Like, my dad always jokes, like, I've always had a stick or like a bat in my hand since I was like been able to walk. So
I think for me, I always grew up watching sports as a kid, and I had the same upbringing as CJ. I'd race around my little cars around the track, and just call the action. That's what I grew up doing. Again, drove our moms crazy, but at the same time, it's what we love doing. It's a passion we developed. So, I kind of played sports throughout middle and high school, keep myself in shape, although I wasn't in the greatest of shape as a kid. I weighed like 200 pounds, close to 220 by the eighth grade. So I was a really chubby kid, but I played sports. I played basketball. I played a bit of rec baseball. I did football for a little bit. And then, I got to high school. I played various different sports, but the only thing, keeping me out of sports was, knee injuries. I had 6 knee injuries throughout my 4 years of high school, which my absence chart was ridiculous for the amount of times I missed for ortho appointments, PT, all that stuff. So the absences just piled up. But that, you know, I think my biggest sport I did was powerlifting. I did that for 3 years in high school, qualified for state twice, and something I still do to this day. I still lift all the time, like 5 to 6 days a week at least. So that's what got me into sports. And then, you know, kind of just fell back in love with broadcast my junior year of high school. So I've been doing it for about 4 years now and love every second of it.
And what led you both to know that you wanted to get into stuff with creative directing like Margot and also getting into behind the scenes of broadcasting?
I think it kind of started like in high school, like senior year of high school. I just loved being around sports all the time, and especially during COVID, like it just kind of heightened, like just wanting to do stuff outside or like find a different niche and like doing stuff around sports. So I would just go to my high school basketball games. Fun facts about I went to Kobe Bryant's high school. So like Lower Merion basketball is like pretty big back in Philly. So those games were so fun, like just being on the court with like all these kids that are probably like playing D1 and all those student sections and stuff. So that's like kind of where I like sparked my inspiration to like be behind the scenes and stuff, because I play two different sports that probably don't really get a lot of recognition for that. And basketball is like huge. So like wanting to do that along with like emphasizing like this like women's sports and stuff along that line. But like, yeah, I think that's where it all started, just high school and this tiny little small little Lower Merion Kobe Bryant gymnasium. So
Yeah, like I mentioned, it kind of started when I was young and then kind of developed into my junior year of high school. I kind of, you know, fell back in love with it. It all kind of started, and then a little backstory. There's a quote I still think about to this day. Playing football my freshman year, you know, all parents would ask me, you know, what's going on with the team, and I'd tell them. And one of my coaches got so upset, he literally told me, he's like, "You don't have to be the team's reporter." So, you know, I kind of took that seriously in terms of how I've developed what I do now. I love to write. I love to call the action. I love being around the landscape of athletics that I am now. So, I go back junior year of high school. I did a lot of public address announcing stuff for my high school. You know, we still do, we host a tournament that was in its 68th year this year. So, getting to do public address announcing for that. Junior year, I wanted to do soccer, but we already had somebody. So my coach, was also my soccer coach, walked up to me and he's like, "You could just do play by play." And I'm like, "Okay." Second game of the year, got all the equipment ready to go. And I did my first game. My coach watches it back, texts me that day, and he's like, "Why do you sound like you're a natural at this?" So that's kind of what got me going and what got me continuing to do what I, you know, been doing now. And it's crazy to see how far it's gotten me in terms of behind the scenes stuff. I don't know, it's just I still like to be involved one way or another. It doesn't matter if I'm in, you know, a control room or I'm actually on the mic for something. I always have loved the landscape of doing things. So I've done production for, you know, of course this is my second year at the team, high school wrestling events, big time JUCO softball tournaments around the area. You know, it's all, I still love the landscape of what I do now. It doesn't matter what facet I'm in, but I just love doing it and I can't really see myself doing anything else.
made you both want to come back this year?
Honestly, I just like had such a great experience just like being in an area that I'm like already familiar with. I go to school in Massachusetts, so it's not too far. And like I just love baseball. Like baseball has been like my life for the last whatever 4 or 5 years, like being at the school filming it, or at being at my school. And just Matt's been great for me, at least last year. He was very like supportive and always like you can just rely on him for anything. And just the culture, like I still have these memories like stick with me like to this day. Like we all still keep in contact. And it's just really like a great like experience to just see small league, like small ball baseball, like not such a big like atmosphere, but it's a good like middle in between than most programs or most leagues do. So I wanted to come back because I had an opportunity to, and I wanted to absolutely take it. And I'm glad I am because we're gonna kill it this year. So.
I loved my first year here, honestly. Working with Phoebe, Caitlin, Grace, Ian, Nick, Jacoby, shout out Charlie as well, and Noah Arsenal for stepping up in big situations when we needed them. I was unlike Margo, I was really unfamiliar with the area. I'd not been to the New England area, so it was my first time. Gracious thing now is my uncle lives in Salem, Massachusetts, so I'll get to see him, and I normally didn't see him when he lived in New York City. But it was kind of up in the air for me if I wanted to come back because, with Matt leaving, that was the guy that really sold me on the experience, and what made me want to, keep coming back was his leadership and how he ran the operational side of things. So, he told me he was coming back as a VP role. I already kind of had looked at an offer from Wareham in the Cape Cod League, which Phoebe got me that role, and director there is actually goes to the same school as Margot, Chuck LaRossi. He's currently an intern at Nesson, but still occasionally comes back. He wanted to bring myself and Nick on. Nick's still actually there now as we speak, but it was just kind of a thing where it's like, I really loved my experience there. I love the culture there. I love the summer ball scene and what it stands for and what it means for those players and the fans. So I kind of said, you know what? I had a long talk with my parents about what I wanted to do, weighed all the options out on the table, and I said, screw it, let's come back for a second year. Why not? So, I could care less about the promotion or anything of that sort. All I care about is getting to spend a summer with people who are willing to come in and work daily and are passionate about what they do and, experience new things. I feel like that's what life's all about, trying new things and stepping outside of your comfort zone. So that's what made me want to come back for a year or two, and I'm really stoked about the season ahead.
Now, you both obviously coming here that last summer were starting from zero, not knowing the area, learning your jobs kind of on the fly. What's your jumping off point for this season, given the experiences you had last year?
Honestly, like I feel like we have a much more, not to say that anybody was like bad or anything last year, but I feel like we have a much more like in-depth like group of people that I think can put us at a higher level, like higher the standards at least for this year. I mean, same kind of feel for getting every like or my at least my team, like we have a schedule from as soon as we get off the bus or at the field, and we go through that and make sure that everything is, in order and check. But I think what really is gonna like take us a step further is like our talent. Like I think it's just gonna keep getting better from years previous, and it's only a matter of like if something we create as a team was gonna like stand out and hopefully get us, like that extra step forward. Like that's something that we as a team are really like that's what we strive for, just being better about ourselves and making the team look as good on socials as much as possible. And I think that this group this year is going to be probably one of the best social media groups in the entire league, and I'm lo really looking forward to it. It's amazing like the talent that last year that we had like and this year even. So I'm really excited, and I'm really looking forward to being even better than last year.
I kind of look at this coming season in kind of two words. First one being development. I think for me, last year we had a really experienced group top to bottom. The resumes just jumped off the charts to everybody. So I think that's what really stood out about us. And the product was there. It really was there. But in terms of this year, there's really a lot of talented people, but there's some skills we're going to put them in that they're going to be uncomfortable with, or it may be their first time doing it. So, you know, that's what I'm looking forward to is the development of getting those skills around. You know, there's some that have not done sideline before, there's some that have not done graphics at a high level like this. So we're just asking them to do their best and to, you know, just upkeep the standard that, you know, we kind of set last year. And then, you know, the second one, I think for me would be, you know, just quality. I think we're upgrading to about six cameras this year. We're going to try and add a seventh this year. We ran about eight or nine at the All-Star game, and that was a really good product. The numbers that PJ got back to me on were phenomenal. So I'm really stoked about, you know, we don't have an All-Star game this year, so there's kind of a bit less on our plate, but that doesn't mean we should still, you know, lower a standard for, you know, a big event. So I think for me, I've really enjoyed the quality of last year's broadcast, and I know we can upkeep that this year. And I'm really stoked about people I brought in to help upkeep that standard because, you know, I just want to see them develop. I just want to see them succeed in the role they're doing, and I want them to have fun doing it. You know, as much as it might be difficult for them to be far away from home, from their friends and families, I'm just trying to help create the best possible atmosphere for them to thrive in and feel like they're, you know, part of something great.
So there was a reel that was shared with me when I first got brought into this team, and Matt showed me it, and it spoke to me a really just deep. And Greg, you can answer a part of this as well, but Margaret, there was a reel that you made about the Upper Valley, and I want to talk about what all went into that, and is it something that you're most proud of, or is there another project that you've made that you're even more proud of than that reel, because it did extremely well and it had a powerful message on it.
Yeah, like that reel has probably been the most like impactful, at least in my career. And it was something that, Matt and I, like, we planned it out, months in advance, or at least at the beginning of the season, because it's right before the All-Star game. And we were just going over, like, how do we make something that speaks to both like the Upper Valley and the team together? And we came up with a beautiful storyboard. Noah Khan, who is a great artist that is from the area, like Matt wanted to use his music to really like get viewers like tied into like, this is really like sentimental for the people that live in the area of Vermont and New Hampshire. So it was a really cool experience. Like I went out by myself to a bunch of different locations with the drone to get great footage. It was really just like beautiful being out there in general, just like feeling the like why is it so important to have baseball here? Like what makes this small little tiny little area in the middle of Vermont like sentimental to people that love the game of baseball? So it was really such a cool experience. It definitely did take a long time to making sure that all the shots were perfect and getting clips from, the team and all the players and stuff, but it was really something that was special for me because it really like, oh man, like this is like I can do it. Like this is stuff that people want to see. Like this is something that I want to do. And it just made the whole summer experience like so well worth it. Like Matt, I give a lot of credit because he honestly coined the idea to begin with, and he just needed me to put everything together. But it was really just such a fun little tiny like separate video than what we've been doing in the past. So just getting highlights and like clips from games and whatnot, but like putting it all together with the Upper Valley and the team was just something so special and something that really was amazing to do for the entire summer. So
You gave me a bit of a career highlight when I found out that I was the second choice behind Noah Kahan.
Yeah.
Prior to that, my career highlight was getting noogied by Kevin McHale at a Celtics training camp media availability after asking a stupid question. So this easily tops it by 100 miles. And actually, even if I didn't even hear myself on it, the photography was incredible. I have been blown away by what drone photography can add to any sort of a broadcast at any level. I love seeing the use of it in NFL games, but whatever it is I happen to be watching, whether it's soccer, whether it's golf, whether it's tiddlywinks, drone photography really has a way of capturing images that you're not going to get any other way. And when used creatively, like you did, you do create a tremendous story, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Glenn, like the voice of the Upper Valley Nighthawks. Who wouldn't want to? That's the perfect voice. Like, sorry, Noah, but
If
I don't
I hadn't known that Noah was the first choice, I would have sung it, and you would have gone to your third
love
choice.
it. But yeah, those shots were really fun to do. Like, I would just drive down whatever road it was, I don't remember, but and just park on the side of the road and get the drone up. I mean, it took like a minute to figure out, but we had time before games to figure it out and stuff. But yeah, that was awesome. Like, yeah, it was so fun just messing around and doing all that.
The locations you use, like, did you just stumble upon them, or did you already have those figured out before you even put this together?
No, we Matt gave me a list of a bunch of locations that he wanted me to go to. And I hit pretty much most of them on the head, like I forgot the tunnel, but like we sat down and we came up with a list of like what are the most like iconic things that the Upper Valley brings and whatnot. So yeah, that's how we planned it out, storyboarded it out. Matt definitely changed a lot, but it all worked out in the end. Like it was fun to just even do that along with being with the team at the same time. It was like kind of like juggling two, three, four balls. And but yeah, that's how we did it.
The fact that you got the shot of JT Guerrero hopping around like a rabbit on acid after his three pitch inning in his last game out, that was a thrill for myself and my wife because he was one of our guests last summer. So it was neat to see you capture that as well. And the fact that he nearly knocked the camera person over made it even a little more realistic.
That was that, I think that was at Ocean State. Yeah.
I think
That
you're
was,
right, yeah.
yeah. He was a fun guy. I miss him. But yeah, those are the types of things that you stick with forever, like those moments. Like you never know where these kids are gonna go. So it's fun to be so close to like this good of baseball and watch it happen. So
So what are you going to bring us this year? How do you top it?
I don't know. I haven't even. It's tough because we don't have the All-Star game. Like that's like really where we kind of put everything around. And coming here as my first year, like or last year was my first year. Like that was the main po focus point. So All-Star game this year in Sanford, but definitely a lot of good stuff to come. So we'll see.
Putting a list together.
Yeah, a rough list. It's always changing, but. Yeah, that's why I got.
So, kind of shifting gears a little bit, I wanted, since you highlighted all the creative aspects, but also just being putting teams together. And I want to ask both of you is going from the roles you had last year and now going into more of a standardized leadership role, what was a big adjustment you had to make? And what was the process like forming your team this year?
Last year I think it was kind of like for me coming from a really small school, like I go to Curry, there's not really a lot of like creative presence here, and I kind of like had to do a lot of this on my own. Like I'm playing ice hockey and doing all of the going to like soccer games and volleyball games and basketball games. It was kind of like a very small, like I just kind of did everything on my own. I would edit, I'd film on site, and then I'd post. Going into last year, it's kind of like, all right, well, what am I gonna let other people like have that experience as well? Or how do I manage five other kids that are coming in to like what needs to be filtered out and what needs to be put together. So that was kind of like my focus point last year. I was just trying to how to manage more people than just myself. And I give a lot of credit to all of my coworkers last year. Like, it was great coming from a bigger, like most of the kids or most of my workers that were there last year, they came from bigger schools. So they kind of already knew the ins and outs of like how this big of an operation works. And we have the most amount of people as a creative team, I think, in the entire league, back to, I don't know how many it is this year, but last year we had the most. So it was great to be able to like bounce off of those people for bigger operations. I think this year it's a lot more manageable because I've already been through it, so I know, who's going to take what or what side of the field like you need to be on, and a little bit more organized. But I think that's going to make things a lot quicker. Not being unsure of like how things are going to work now, it's just kind of like we're rolling through the motions. Like we already know what's going on, we know how to run it, and we're going to produce a good product that we don't need to spend like 30 minutes on wasting a half an inning or a full 2 innings because we missed it because we're busy editing. So I think now I am able to like manage through what we do through games and who's taking what. So I think that it's just going to be a lot easier for me this year at least. So and we'll just get much, much, much more quality products out. So
Through the magic of the internet, I'll confirm what your statistics are for hockey this season. So I know you're legit as a hockey player. 10 penalty minutes, 15 games, impressive. However, the question I have for you is, aside from base, is there another sport that draws your interest as far as telling a video story?
I mean, I love doing baseball because it's like you are knowing what's happening, like you know what's gonna, like you're focused on a batter first or like a pitcher, like it's not like so chaotic where you're going back and forth. So hockey's a little hard because you gotta always be locked in, like you can't like veer away for 1 second or else you're gonna miss something. But I think basketball is probably like a good happy medium for that. And I just love like I didn't play basketball a lot, but being able to watch it like and just kind of understand like how ball movement works. It's kind of similar, like a little bit like hockey, where you have set plays, but at the same time, it's not as like as fast as hockey, and it's like in between baseball. But I don't know. I think that's like one of the sports that I love watching or and filming the most.
So kind of on CJ's question, I think the biggest thing for me was as soon as I told Matt I was going to accept the position, kind of just hit the ground running on getting all the job descriptions and requirements. And, it took me a full day actually to kind of just think about those requirements and, kind of the responsibilities because, well, first, I didn't really have anybody outside of my group last year returning. So that's kind of a new thing for me. And, so I kind of think to myself, what do I want in a person? One for me, it would be, can they really make a positive impact in the control room? And two, are they passionate about what they do? I could care less if you have a long resume. That's not what makes a person a great coworker or a great teammate. It's the ability to, really make a positive impact on your coworkers. And I think for me the process was really it was really difficult to find certain positions and a few setbacks later, but I think I put together a really phenomenal group that I'm really excited for. The biggest change from going from just a broadcast production manager to being the director now is dependability and responsibility. So in terms of dependability, I was dependent on, being the one to solve all the technical issues. I have to do that and also take care of every other aspect of the operational side, whether it's, the podcast or, getting certain things together in terms of ad reads, all that, putting together, how a broadcast should be run down. There's a lot more responsibility that goes into it. So that's kind of been a big adjustment for me. But, so far it's been really well. We've not missed a single deadline outside of me having work yesterday and having to delay the recording to today. So that's the only setback we've had so far. But no, things are moving along really phenomenally. And, I've got a great group behind me that's always willing to put work in if needed. And I have that, they have my back, I have their back. So that's kind of the way we've been rolling right now. But I think mainly for me right now is kind of up until March, I'm going to let them do their work, do their schoolwork. And then, once it kind of gets closer, once we start getting into production meetings, we're going to hit the ground running and get them more accustomed to how we do things in the NACBL as possible.
Oh, absolutely. And adding to returning to the Upper Valley and just being around everything with the Upper Valley Nighthawks, besides like your typical working spot, is there a spot at the Max Complex that you enjoy the most?
I feel like this is a pretty obvious answer, Brendan.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
First face side, right behind the
Yeah.
bleachers.
Yeah,
A
absolutely.
yep.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean,
Yeah. Yeah.
I was gonna say Max Maple, but I mean there's that option
Oh.
too. Yeah,
Oh, this is a go. I did forget about
yeah.
that.
No. It's as soon as you
That
have a
first,
break.
or wait. Yeah, first base side.
First base side,
First
yeah.
base side right behind the right next to the dugout. Right in between the bullpen and our dugout.
Why?
Cause we always like to chat it up with the players.
Yeah. Well, I
And
don't.
cause it's just like everybody's there. Like who doesn't want to be there?
That's fair.
I was afraid you were going to say it's right where the beer sales are, so I'm not sure to where the kind of crowd you might have drawn over there.
no.
Oh.
Max Maple, or where I'm at now, the control room. Max Maple for one. Maple creamies are, the best ice cream or soft serve or whatever one you call it I've ever had. It's top tier, phenomenal. I always keep telling my parents I need to bring them back some, which I probably need to do so. And then the control room. I mean, that's where I spend 95% of my time at the max. That, or if I have to change a camera battery in center field, I do that. Or tell kids to stop jumping up and smacking the camera every half inning, like. But no, I love the control room. It's just such a peaceful place. You get your work done. I think we've kind of made it this year to where it's, less stressful due to us not having technical issues kind of the second half of the season. So it's peaceful. It's where I spend most of my time, and I prefer it. Also, as air conditioning. So we're one of few teams that have air conditioning in the press box, so that's a plus.
Nobody can underestimate the power of good air conditioning.
Must be nice to have air conditioning, at least on a very hot Thursday afternoon where I'm
Oh yeah.
stuck underneath a tent.
Well, stop hanging out at the first base dugout and hang out with the cool kids and go to a gym.
I could. If
No.
anything, I would be in there all the time too,
Yeah.
away from everybody. But.
It was especially needed on that doubleheader against, or I think it's just a single game against North Shore when it was like 99 degrees outside. That day was so miserable. And what made it 10 times worse is my grandparents, who drove all the way up from Kansas, decided to come visit me on their way back. Yeah, that was not the ideal experience I wanted to have for them. So,
Yeah, or when it rains.
yeah.
Just all the elements you don't have to worry about. We do. With
Oh
all the
yeah.
camera crew. All the camera stuff.
Oh boy.
Plus on the first base side you get the shade. What little there is.
Yeah, there's like a little bit, but it is definitely not enough from the elements.
Just to shift a little bit, talking about favorite places, but is there a favorite away stadium slash road trip that you like to make? And you're looking forward to this season.
I got mine.
You go first.
All
I don't
right.
know yet.
100%. I can give you two answers. 100%. One, Sanford. I'm excited to go back there. Good old park, probably. Matt likes to say this a lot, and I agree with him. It's easily like the most stereotypical any CBL stadium there is. Like the press box is massive. Everybody's so friendly there. Kind of a, even crazier story. I thought the Twins were just one person. I didn't know there was a second one. So when I saw both the Twins in the same press box, or the guys in the ownership group, mind you, I'm like, "There's two of you?" And they're like, "Yeah." So that was quite something. But no, Sanford's phenomenal. The entertainment's there, great. Maybe if Bruce and Boomer would stop trying to type on my computer while I'm trying to write up a story, it'd be nice. Other than that, no, fans are great. People there are great. Staff there was phenomenal last year. Jackson Walsh being the all-star broadcaster and having the unique story of being a pitcher there that year before to now being the broadcaster for the Sanford Mainers and being an all-star broadcaster of that was something terrific. And he was such a nice guy and all that staff was. So Sanford then. And then I didn't get to go to Bristol, but I heard Muzzy Field is phenomenal. So I'm excited to go to Bristol this year.
That's a good one. I forgot about Sanford. That is like a nice, like smaller-ish but like bigger ballpark. I feel like for the size that North Shore has, like their stadium size, like if they have more people there, I feel like it'd be really cool. 'Cause like the upper like deck part of it, like we always have people up there with cameras and it's always like a cool like overhead shot looking down on the field. I always love going to the Mountaineers Stadium too. I feel like that's a like cool little small little ballpark, just like Vermont, or at least Starfield. But good food, good atmosphere there. The fireworks last year was really cool when we were there for the 4th of July. I'm trying to think of, I didn't go to Bristol last year. I don't know. I was like, I mean, Keene State's always cool too. That was like the first, or one of the first away stadiums that we went to last year, and that was like the coolest atmosphere, I think. They're very loyal over there. So I guess Keene State, just for the atmosphere, it's always fun going there. Looking forward to that. Hopefully get a playoff win this year there, or at home. We'll
Yeah,
see.
hopefully.
Crossing fingers.
Brennan just wants to go to Keene again just to meet Ribby.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, something like that. Although I'm not gonna forgive him for, I gave him a Sharpie so he could sign a kid's ball. Actually, there's a few kids' balls that
You
he
didn't
was
give it back.
signing. No, he did give it back, but he threw it. He threw my Sharpie across the field, so I'm just running over to get it. I'm like, dude. But he was cool. Although I did scare him, and then he had his lightsaber in his hand because it was Star Wars night that night, like the first time we went. So he had his little lightsaber, and he, tried to threaten to duel me, but I had nothing. So I'm like, best I can do is duel you with a pen to your lightsaber. So, no, Bruce and Boomer are my favorite by far. If they're not annoying, because their dance moves are solid. Give them that.
Greg, do you have a favorite away trip you've taken?
I always enjoy going to Cardines, as much because of the history of the field, as the location. A couple of years ago, my wife and I made a day trip. Went down first thing in the morning with a trolley over around Newport to some of the houses, to some of the park sites, and it happened to coincide the Hall of Fame tennis tournament. Downtown was a complete log, and trying to get through there to get back. Field. If only the Nighthawks could be more successful in Newport, then it'd probably be a lot more fun. But I've never seen them not only win a game there, but I don't think they're going to even be close in the game in Newport. But I do like going down there just for the other things that you can do to kill the time before the game started. A lot of things to see, a lot of good places to go eat, a lot of places to shop, a lot of sights. It's beautiful down there.
Yeah, that Newport doubleheader was brutal. Well, first game, heartbreaking loss in that fashion it was. And then the second game, they actually packed the park there. I think it was full capacity. Bronson Arroyo was there. And yeah, although, oh, Margo's dad came up too, so that was a cool experience too. But the only bad part about Newport is their fans are really, really passionate. So whenever we had our little section at Cardine's and they just circle around you, I had to sit next to the starting pitcher's boyfriend or girlfriend, and she did not stop screaming the entire time he was pitching. And she was talking smack on us too. And I'm sitting over here in my gear. I'm like, I hope she doesn't turn and look and notice that, I'm with the Nighthawks. So that was kind of the experience that I got at Cardine's, but I love the history there. It was a nice experience, and they sell out the place too.
I sell craziest place in the world, and it scares me that one person drops a match and that thing's gonna go up like a somebody's fireplace. But it's the history of it. I mean, I like old ballparks. I like ballparks that are not symmetrical. And I like ballparks with history, and Cardine's fits in all those areas.
My dad, when he was there, wouldn't shut up about like, this is the oldest ballpark in North America or whatever. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. I didn't know I'd be crammed in here filming. But yeah, the history is cool. The fog was not cool though. That was really annoying.
Yeah, the fog was awful.
Yeah, I've only seen highlights of the fog game, and I just couldn't imagine not only calling the game, so shout out to everybody that called that game, but also just and trying to imagine playing that game because the fog was dense. You couldn't even see the fence from the camera shot sometimes. So
You
I
couldn't
couldn't
even
get over
see
that
the
one.
left fielder from like the third base line. It
No.
was so bad. And it wouldn't stop for like, I don't even know. I forget how long it was. It felt like hours, but.
I think it was like half an hour to like an hour almost, maybe even longer than that. But I remember Paws wanted to stop the game, and Mike Coombs was like, "Oh, it'll go away." I mean, it did, but the rest of that game was not fun for us. So
No, it was not.
it was not, because then they
Up on the
scored
sea
like,
coast.
yeah, because I think they scored like 5 runs after that fog delay, and I'm like, "Oh gosh."
Do you have any fun stories from being in Upper Valley?
There's so many. Like, I can't even pinpoint one. I don't even know. I feel like every day was so much fun. There's not like one specific thing. Maybe the bus rides were always fun. Hearing the guys like play Mafia in the back. I never actually got to play a game, even though I really wanted to.
Should, should, should.
I know I will this year. Hopefully they get it going this year. I feel like
Yeah.
that has to be like a select group of people.
Well, Tim Burrow will do it.
Yeah. Is he coming back?
Yeah. I don't know if I was supposed to
Let's
say that,
go.
but
Oh
get
my
in the
God.
habit. We're going to start nicknaming him the professor.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like it.
Either that or the doctor, either or. One of those two has to
Yeah.
apply for 4-year veteran.
I think the doc is pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Nick Tamburo, it is. Dr. We'll introduce it
Tambor.
when he's on the show.
Perfect.
I actually do have a story. So I was in the car, or it was Grace driving. It was myself, Grace, and I think Phoenix. I think we were the only three in there. And we were driving back from, I think it was either Sanford or Vermont. It was one of the two. And there's this guy driving slow in front of us. So Gracie just happened to just, do the normal thing that some people do when they're impatient. They just go around and just go right there. Well, there was a cop sitting there, and we did unfortunately get pulled over. And it's funny enough because the officer that pulled us over, she was super nice, and she's like, "That you're like the sixth person that's done that today." Literally just left with a verbal warning, and we were out of there in like 5 minutes. So that was probably the highlight of my time, because Not only was Grace's Jeep carpools the highlight of the summer, if that, but also just the fact that getting pulled over in a state that I'm not from or not been to at all, it was just freaking hilarious. So, shout out Grace.
I do remember that. That was really funny. I think the best one that I can remember now is like going to Martha's Vineyard. That was crazy. Like that whole entire day was like probably one of the longest working days I've ever like experienced in my life. We left to like whatever, I don't know, 11 in the morning, and we didn't get back until like 2. Actually, no, probably later than that. Something like that.
Yeah, I think it
But
was like
like,
3 a.m.
yeah, I don't know. It was crazy. But like going to the ferry and then leaving on a fishing boat, like squishing an entire baseball team of like, I don't know, 60 people on a tiny little fishing boat. That was, might I say, a crazy experience. But yeah, that was fun. That's a cool, nice little ballpark too. Great, great fan base there. A lot of great food and merch and stuff. But I think that's probably the best memory I have.
Yeah, and then AJ getting a money pool to jump in the water, even though Paz
Oh,
told him not to.
yes.
That was hilarious. Because he's
Yes.
like, it's so cold. And he literally, he didn't have any like spare clothes or a towel with him at all. So he literally just jumped in whatever he had. I'm like, why did you do that?
Yeah, I
But
don't.
we were just
He's
waiting for
crazy.
the fishing boat. Yeah, he's hilarious.
Yeah, that was probably
He
that.
did not think about the drive home after the fishing boat.
No.
No, it was like the bus was like cold too.
Yeah,
Oh
it
no.
was cold.
Okay, so speaking of the bus, I've never played the game. What is Mafia? Not only so I know, but just for everybody else that know, if they don't know, listening.
Okay, I might be wrong because I was not a part of a game, but I only heard. It's basically like Heads Up, Seven Up almost. Like somebody is like the narrator of the entire group of people that you're playing with, and they just pick people that have different roles. Like if you're mafia or whatever, you can like kill people, or if you're like the doctor, you can heal people. Like keeping it short, they come up with some crazy like outlandish different like roles. Like I don't even know, like
Yeah.
I couldn't give you the specifics, but it's basically like Heads Up, Seven Up with a narrator that's telling, like, creating like a story of like how people are getting killed or whatever in the mafia. And it's like I guess, who was the, I guess Tamburo was probably one of
Tim
them, like,
Burrow is mainly the narrator that year.
So he'd be the narrator and like come up with like a crazy like story of like something that happens. It's just a good bus game to play when you have nowhere to go and nowhere to be for like an hour. And it's fun. The guys love it. They literally
Yeah.
only play it. Like first, I think it was like first game against North Shore. Like I think it was Jack Spanier. He started it and then it continued for the rest of the season.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's basically the same premise as, yeah, kind of a shorter one would be like Town of Salem, for example. Basically the same premise of that. Yeah, Margo explained it great. They do have some quite crazy roles. There's like the dentist where the dentist picks somebody who can't talk for that round. They have their own little spins and twists and different rules and stuff, and it's just funny. I think David's first time playing, he won. So, and it was on the fishing boat after Vineyard, so it's hilarious.
Oh, good Nighthawks tradition. Hopefully we keep it alive.
Yeah, easily will.
So going off of more fun stories, I know that we all have the same common connection as VP Matt. Any fun Matt Wright stories you want to share? Greg, you can chime in as well.
Are you trying to get me in trouble?
No, like not in trouble,
Nah.
but like, some
Matt,
that
Matt's
are.
not, Matt's gone. He's not listening. All right. You don't see his face on here, do you?
Yeah, Matt's gonna find out when he listens to the podcast.
No, but
So
I remember like he listened to the last
this
10
Hawks
50.
Talk thing in the corner, that's not him.
Yeah, definitely him. Okay. I think it's just his personality in general is what makes him hilarious. I
That's
mean,
very nice of you.
yeah. Well, it's kind of a good way, honestly. So his license plate is Yub Nub, which is a Star Wars reference. Like, that guy is the biggest Star Wars fan I've ever met. He literally goes to different places that are themed after Star Wars. Let's see, whenever we were practicing like All-Star Game parking procedures, he let me park his car. I mean, we played Go Go Mountaineers after we beat him that last game to secure a spot in the playoffs. That was hilarious. That was just all time hilarious. I don't know, Margo, do you have any?
I mean, the first one that comes to my mind is when, like, I don't know if people know who, like, my dad is crazy. Like, he just loves to, like, be around sports in general. And he's just, like, such a, I don't know, like, open-ended guy. But, like, him meeting Matt for the first time was so, I think he thought he was, like, a player or whatever. And my, da and Matt was like, who is this guy? Like, what? I was like, oh, yeah, by the way, this is my dad. Like, hello. But, yeah, Matt's a fun guy to be around. He just always loves to like yap your ear off all the time. And it's
Yeah,
nice. You just
that,
like kind
and I must say his music taste was the biggest surprise about him to me. He listens to like Dua Lipa, which
of.
I love Dua Lipa, but I figured I'd expect Matt to listen to like 70s or 80s rock, but he listens to like Dua Lipa. I mean, his playlist for the All-Star game was top tier. He had it saved for us, so he literally sent it to the staff group chat, being like, if you want to listen back to the playlist, here it
I was about
is.
to say, doesn't he do all the mixtapes or the
Yeah.
pre like audio for music or whatever?
Oh,
We got
Sabrina
really pissed
Carpenter is
off.
on there too. Don't forget Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah,
That's
yeah, yeah.
another one. Dumb too,
Yeah.
he listens to, I mean, he's like, oh, they're gonna be on my wedding playlist too. I'm like, that sounds about right, Matt. But no, I love Matt. He's kind of the main reason I decided to come back for my second year.
Ditto. I agree with that statement. He is the reason why I'm back too.
I'm glad he came back. I was really kind of curious how things were gonna operate without him. So it was a big surprise to find out that he was still coming back, and it's good that he's still there.
Greg, do you have any stories
Yippee.
about Matt you want to share too, or? You're muted, Greg.
Greg's muted. I
He's just
knew
going. You're muted the
was
whole
gonna do that. I knew I was gonna do this at least
time,
once. I don't have much in the way of Matt stories, but it's nice to have him there on game day, which is pretty much my relationship with him. It's helpful to have somebody there who can answer my questions when I need them answered, like who the umpire is gonna be, what time do we need to get started, yada yada yada. And then beyond that, you know, just the professionalism makes things just so much smoother in the press box.
so far
I
from
just
just
didn't want you guys to hear my space heater under the deck. That's why I've been, you know, shutting this thing off all night.
the joys of using Zoom to record podcasts on until we get on site, but
Heck
we
yeah.
make it work. But
Absolutely.
from meeting Matt only on Zoom calls, my favorite part is that you can just like we get on one topic and then we're on a complete 180, and then we're talking about another topic, and then we go on to back to the original topic. Like my favorite part is like with Matt, you can talk to him about one thing, he'll go on a completely different tangent. Like we are way off track, and he'll somehow make a connection to the original topic he was talking about. Like I don't know how he does it, but it's just one of those joys of knowing Matt, right? And he you can get lost like on these Zoom calls, and we just can talk for hours on them, not just a basic like, hey, how's everything going? No, like we're talking, we're connecting, which is great. We're all building relationships. But yeah, I've never seen someone can just go off the rails in a way and then just come right back to center stage.
Yeah, that's why all of our meetings run so much longer.
Yeah,
Just him rambling. Just Matt rambling in the background or just like the same like two things over and over again.
all just sitting here
All
like,
jokes aside.
Aldrich Sy, he's great.
Oh, Matt is great. But one of another question that I had for everybody was, what does it mean to be a Nighthawk to you?
I think, like, just like being able to like be around people that are so closely knit together. Like you're with the same people for 2 months straight, and being in that like really nitty gritty, like you're playing every other day or basically every day, no breaks. Like that is like what being a Nighthawk, like just being grittiness and passionate about what you want to do for this team. I think everybody's bought in. We're all bought in for one thing, and just to have fun. Like that's really it. The season's long. Like I can only imagine what it's like being a player, like doing this every single day for 2 months straight. Like it's tough. Like it's not gonna be easy, but like being passionate and willing to just give everything that you got for this team is that's what it means to be a Nighthawk. Just providing for yourself and also for the fans as well.
I come from a town of about 6,000 people, good old Tonganoxie, Kansas, and you know, everybody knew everybody. Any sporting event, people were there and they rallied around a team. And I kind of take that into, you know, even my job now. I work for small area high schools and JUCOs, which, you know, people rally around that team and everybody's bought into the community and everybody's close with each other and everybody's so friendly. So I take that into, you know, the Nighthawk setting and how I want to convey the team and convey the message of, you know, it means to be a fan. Nighthawk means family to me. And that's just goes from the people who support it to the players that make the Nighthawks, to the staff that make the Nighthawks possible, to the ownership and management. I mean, top to bottom, it's a big family and we embrace the fans that show up and support us. And even road games, there's, you know, host families that travel to road games and, you know, they embrace the players, they embrace the staff as well. So it's just one big close-knit family that I'm really grateful for. And, you know, I really think that's what the Nighthawks are about, is about that family atmosphere and, you know, rallying around each other when times get tough, especially.
Another thing too is I want to point this one to Greg too. Greg, since you're coming back as two, and we're kind of highlighting all the returning aspects so far in this episode alone, what does it mean to be a Nighthawk to you? And also take us through being part of the host family program as well.
I don't consider myself a Nighthawk. I'm just a person that hangs around, you know, in all honesty. I kind of the one thing I miss when my job situation changed 4 years ago was being in a game situation. I really enjoy being around that activity, seeing what kind of stories develop from it. And even though I don't write about it or talk about it professionally, it still is the scene where I want to be. So 22 weeknights, weekend days out of the summer, I get 3 or 4 hours where I get to hang out at the ballpark and just talk. You know, I could do that at home too, but I drive my wife nuts. So I get to drive other people crazy. But the host family thing is really her responsibility. Back when this thing was getting started and Noah was looking for his first host families, I saw the post on Facebook. I thought about it and kind of let it go in one ear and out the other. Second time it came about, I said to my wife, "Well, what do you think?" Before I could even get the words out of my mouth, she said, "Yes." And that's what got it started. Doing this now for the better part of 10 years, we have realized that we are people who missed a calling as being bed and breakfast hosts, because that's kind of the approach that we take to it. We just want to give you a place to be comfortable, a place where you can rest. And if you have some time, we'll have dinner with you or make cookies for you or whatever the case may be. And the relationships that develop from that are priceless. We've gone to a couple of weddings. We keep in contact with a lot of other guys. I'm looking forward to catching up with Keller Bradford in May, hopefully down at Lynchburg, and seeing how he's been doing with all that's been going on with him in the off season. That's the joy of it. And what's fun is that we really never know how it's going to turn out, because we really don't know who's going to be here until maybe 2 weeks before the season gets started. Now, seeing that Eric Santaella is coming back, I would say there's a pretty fair chance he'll be staying with us. He'll be the first returnee, legitimate returnee that we've had. But who the other two guys are going to be, who knows? We're going to have fun finding out, though.
No, perfect. Finally, for me, who is someone that inspires the both of you?
I want to say my dad. He really got me like into the love of sport, and he's just like a guy that's always like optimistic about everything in life, and I strive to be a good like example for people in my life, and I think he's a great example in mine. So he's somebody that I really look up to, and I strive to be like so.
Yeah, I'd say my parents as well. You know, definitely having divorced parents definitely is difficult to kind of navigate that sort of scenario, but they've both supported me equally in what I do, and you know, they've both, you know, sacrificed a lot for me to be able to do what I do. And you know, Greg knows this, CJ knows this as well. As a broadcaster or, you know, in the field, you're going to have to miss some important family events, and it's going to suck, and you're going to feel like the worst person in the world. But they've kind of given me the understanding that, you know, it's part of the job. It's part of what goes on, and, you know, you always make time up for that. So they sacrificed a lot. They've taught me a lot about life and how to navigate certain scenarios, and they've given me the opportunities that I might not be able to have, and others might not be able to have. So I'm fortunate for them, and even my stepdad as well, who's come into my life the past few years and been a really good mentor for me in other aspects that I may not have gotten in my life, and been a really good support system for me. All my parents have, my family really has. So, I mean, shoot, this whole internship, I had to miss the birth of my half brother. So it sucked, but I'm grateful for my family being as strong as they are and as gracious as they are for me to do what I love doing. And you know, they enjoy hearing about it because it's what I'm passionate about and it's what I enjoy doing. So I really look up to them and strive to make them proud and be the best example I can.
Oh, absolutely. Greg, is there anything else that you want to add to anything? Anything else you want to
No, not really. I'm looking forward to I mean, it's hard to say it here in the middle of January, staring at a foot and a half of snow in your yard, but I'm looking forward to the start of the baseball season. I hate the fact that it's 120 some odd days away, but it gives you something to look forward to, and it gives you something to really to fill up what is one of the slower times of the year around here. I mean, been here for 40 years, and for 30 of those, I didn't have a summer baseball team. I'm glad we have one now, and it gives me something really to look ahead to as we continue our preseason journey toward June.
Yeah, absolutely. And staring outside and knowing that it's negative something degree wind chill, it just doesn't make you excited. But I'm excited to get out there for the first time and experience all the amazing things that I've been told and all the stories that I've been able to hear throughout so far doing the podcast and just meeting everybody. So it's going to be a fun year and a fun 2026. And the podcast is going to be great, knowing that Brendan has been demoted to behind the scenes and the salute going forward. But no, it's been great to have you both on, and we are looking forward to seeing what you both are able to do in 2026, and very happy to have both of you back. So thank you for spending the time with us tonight and allowing us to share your story to everybody listening, but also get to know more about you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And and don't let the demotion really bother you, Brendan. We'll tell people we know you.
Yeah, I won't take it to heart.
Your free ketchup packet is waiting for you in the mail, by the way.
Stop. 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 I knew you were gonna do something to me. Don't
referenced it in the Nest episode if you have not heard that one yet, but oh boy. Well, without further ado, that will conclude another edition of Hawks Talk. We appreciate everybody listening and appreciate our guests, Margo and Brennan, for joining us as well. And without further ado, I will send it away. And as always, take care and see you next time.